Good afternoon, everybody. So last night I was at a chasna, and someone asked me when I was at the chasna what I thought about break rooms. I'm like, it's a great place to take a break. They're like, no, not a break room, a break room. I'm like, what do you mean? And they said that apparently one of the things you could do if you are dating is you can go to a place and you pay a couple of dollars and you go into a room full of like glass and plates and things like that and just throw things against the wall and smash them and break them and, and that you can let out all of your energy on destroying things, on smashing things and breaking them. So is there any isser in doing this? So my first thought was Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Hey, called Meshaber Kelim B'Chamaso Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah, that if a person breaks Kelim in anger, it's as if he's Ovid Avodah Zarah. That's called Kovei's Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah, meaning, but that's out of anger. It doesn't seem that most people do this out of anger. Meaning, I don't think this is the kind of thing that's available for someone who has trouble controlling their temper, that they then go check into a break room and pay whatever, $30, I don't know, I have no idea what they charge, and then just go smashing things. Maybe that's the case. But I don't think that's the case. I think the real issue over here is, can you do this for entertainment? That people find this fun to do. So is there any issue in doing this? So then my second thought was that this probably relates a lot to the literature on the topic of Lag BaOmer, that there is a practice in many circles that on Lag BaOmer they make bonfires and they just burn clothing in the bonfires. And the Poskim have been talking about this for centuries, about burning begadim in fires on Lag BaOmer. The Tshuva Sho'olam Eishiv Chamisha'a Simon Lamed Tess writes, "Vaniya Rav Lahem Shim Hayulokhem Osa Mamun Vayimefarnesin Aniya Yeretz Yisrael Bazeh Shayosar Hayanicha LaRashbi Vana Lo Vana Liolam." He says, "I have it on my authority that if instead of destroying random items of clothing, they would take that money and they would be mefarnes Aniya Yeretz Yisrael, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai will be much much happier with them." So he was already yelling at this back then in the Chikrei Leiv Tinyanach El Galav Yardei Simin Yeralev. He says, "Veini Motzi Bazat Sad Heter. I don't see any heter to do this." What would they use for the wicks? And that was for a real benefit for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. They'd only use the worn out clothing of the Kohanim, not still usable clothing of the Kohanim. And he says, "Vimshi adati gedulas Rashbi zal b'shamayim malvel aretz mi ani ledaber b'davar nogeh k'tzas l'kvodo zal." He says, "I know that the Rashbi is the Rashbi, and I can't speak anything about him. But yadati kilo lefanav chanav yava v'libi omerli dein ritzona b'kach." He says, "I'm pretty sure that the Rashbi is not in favor of this practice, and it should not be done." Nevertheless, there are those poskim that are in favor of it or think that there's what to rely on. In the Tshuvas Torah Lishma, the Ben Ish Chai in Siman Tav is matir, and he says, "Ein lefak beik al zeh me'achar sheim iskavnu l'shem mitzvah ein kan chshash paltashchis minig Yisrael toruhu." The kavan is l'shem mitzvah, and if it's kavan l'shem mitzvah and it's a minig Yisrael, then it's not a violation of paltashchis. And he says, and let's even remember what the starting point is. Is the starting point here in Issa D'Oraisa or in Issa D'Rabbanan? So he says the starting point is in Issa D'Rabbanan, not in Issa D'Oraisa, because the Issa Baltashchis Midoraisa is only on Ashchasas Ilanos, it's not on Ashchasas Kelim. So since the starting point is a D'Rabbanan and it's Litzarech Mitzvah, so maybe there's what to be Samechan. So what kind of assumption is that? That it's only D'Rabbanan? So the Rambam in the sixth parak of Ilchus Malachim, in Halacha Ches, he writes, "Ein Kotzin Ilani Machol, Shechotz Medina Vein Mon Mehanam Samayim Kitei Sheiv." This is about tashchis on trees, and anyone who does it, call a kotze, it's loka. And then in Halacha Yuri writes, "Veloa ilanos bilvad elakolam shaber kelim v'korea begodim v'horeis binyan v'sosei mayan avid ma'cholos derech hashchasa." If you throw out your food, if you break kelim, if you tear clothing, derech hashchasa over below sashchis, ve'elok el makas mardus midivrayhem, it's a violation of los sashchis, and you get makas mardus midivrayhem. So what does that mean exactly? You're over los sashchis, sounds like d'oraisa, and you violate makas, and you get makas mardus midivrayhem, sounds drabanan. The Rambam say for mitzvos los sasei nun zayin writes, "V'chein kol hefsid nichnas tachas lavze kugon mishi yisrof beged l'rik or yishbar keli gamkein over mishum los sashchis v'loka." The Rambam seems to say that that it's part of the Issa D'Oraisa. So what's the Torah Lishma talking about? That it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan to begin with? So it is a discussion in the poskim. Why does the Rambam say Makas Mardus? So there are those that say that he means to say that, yes, it's an outgrowth of Lo Tashchis, but it's not the Isser Midoraisa. It's only the Isser Midorabanan to destroy clothing. Included in that group of very Chashva Poskim is the Nodeb Yehuda, Maduritinyana, Yardeas and Yud, the Chayyadim and the Chasitis, Klal Yiral of Siflam and Beis, the Rashash and Bamatia Daflam and Beis, the Chuvas Dov Mesharim, Chelik Beis Simitazayin. However, many, many other Poskim, the majority of Poskim assume the Rama means Da'oraisa, or even if the Rama doesn't mean it, they assume that it's Da'oraisa. The Smag holds it's Da'oraisa, the Smag holds it's Da'oraisa, Rabbeinu Yonan Shari Chuv holds it's Da'oraisa, it seems from Tosfos in Kiddushin Daflam Beis Amid Aleph, that it's Da'oraisa, but Matzia Daflam Beis as well, that it's Da'oraisa. Now, there are all sorts of difficult attempts to try to be Miyashiv the Rambam, right? How could it be that you only get Makas Mardus? So Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that it's a Lav Shabachlalos, a little bit difficult to understand why that would be the case. The Tshuva's Yad Yitzchak says, no, it's something that's Lav She'enu Mufurish Bekra, you don't get Malkas on. Rav Asher Weiss has his own Mahalik. He says that whenever you have an Iker Mitzvah and other inyanim that are also included, even if they're included on a Daraisa level, you only get Malkus on the Iker Mitzvah. And he gives seven examples in the in Rambam of where you have such a klal that comes out that you wouldn't get Malkus. But be that as it may, Daraisa, Drabanan, it's certainly something. It's certainly some sort of Isser. So the question is there ever a heter to break Kalim, right? If it's some sort of Isser. So there's one very well-known heter. It happened to be last night. I was at a wedding when I was having this conversation. And someone had just broken a kli right in front of our eyes, in front of hundreds of people, had broken a kli. And after he did it, after he violated this blatant Isser, everyone shouted, Mazel Tov, right? Why is that permissible? So the Gemara in Brachos tells us that the Amoraim would break Kalim at the time of a wedding, and Tosfos writes, Mikan nagu lishbor zuchuchas b'nisuin. The Gemara says that at times of simcha, so the and that's according to the Ramah, that we break a kli at the time of at a nisuin. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in the name of the Prima Gadim that it's not bal tashkis because you're doing it as a zecher l'churban. So apparently, when you're doing something for a real toeles, then it's not going to be a violation of bal tashkis. In fact, in Maseches Tamid and the Mishnah Maseches Mido says that the Ish HaRabayis would go around to check. He was the supervisor for the people who were supposed to be the shomer. And if he saw that they were sleeping, he would burn the edges of their clothing. So, Baltashkis, how are you allowed to burn the edges of their clothing? Elamai, there was a real, there was a real toelas in doing so. So, and there are many, many other examples where apparently we're not so concerned about Baltashkis when there's a real toelas in doing so. In the Gemara in Kiddushin says that Rav Huna tore clothing in front of Rabba to see if he would get angry at him. He wanted to test him to see if he would get angry at him. So the Gemara asks, "Vakavr mishum Baltashkis?" So the Gemara answers, "David le bupum bayni." He tore it in a way that it could be repaired. He tore it on a seam, so it could be repaired. So so l'chora that would take away the iser if it's something that could be repaired. Or maybe if even when you're violating baltashkis because of a toelis and there's some sort of toelis over there, you still have to minimize the iser as much as possible. So where does that leave us? Meaning we do know that whenever I shouldn't say we know. The Rishonim already point out, and quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and on the page in the Shulchan Aruch by the Taz and others, that whenever something is worth more destroyed than not destroyed, meaning there's value in destroying something by freeing up space or by a tree that's worth more for its wood than it is for the fruits, the Yisra Bal Tashkis goes away. The Rush writes in Baba Kama, in the 8th paragraph of Baba Kama, that you're allowed to cut a fruit tree when it's Tzorach L'Makomo. The Taz in Yardes and Kufta Zayin Sivkot Vav Paskins based on this Rush that you could be an oak or a fruit tree in order to build a base dira in that spot. So it's not like an absolute, meaning it's only when it's considered to be derech hashchasa. Question is, where do you draw that line, right? Meaning if a person is going for entertainment purposes, is that called derech hashchasa? And also, what if the items are already hefker? What if the items already don't belong to anybody and they're all, they were already destined for the garbage heap? They're already, meaning they're not giving you, the people who own that place aren't taking their china dishes from their home, their Shabbos dishes, and bringing them to, no, it's whatever they get that they can't sell, or whatever. I don't know how they get it, but it's stuff that's going in the garbage anyway. So that happens to be machlokas rishonim. If you have something that's hefker, whether it's a violation of bal tashkis, it's true in the Yehuda Yala in Yerideas and Mukav Samach Dalin, where he points out that it's a machlokas rishonim. So I was just thinking, if something is garbage anyway, we destroy it all the time. We throw it out all the time, right? Why are you allowed to throw out a plastic cup after you use it only once? You're allowed to do that. Plastic cup used only once, perfectly usable. You can rinse it out and use it a second time. Why are we allowed to do that? You're destroying something that's perfectly usable, and you're not even getting entertainment out of it. Sometimes people are fidgety, so they're sitting there playing with the plastic cup and they break it into 18 million pieces or whatever. Right? Why are you allowed to do that? Why are you allowed to destroy something like that? Why are you allowed to throw out a pickle jar after the pickles are all done? It's glass. It's mamish, like a real kli. So you have to say that there's some sort of geder, that whenever that's the normal way, because it's not considered something of value anymore, so that's not considered derech hashchasa. But when it's something where the whole kunz is that you're being destructive, that you're breaking something, that would seem to run afoul of bal tashchis. I mean, the whole kunz is that you're taking something that otherwise looks like it would be perfectly usable, and you're dafka making an inyan out of breaking it just to break it. That would seem to be the very definition of what bal tashchis is about. So I don't think this is something that B'nai Torah should be doing. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.